This is the regular meeting of the improvements committee for May 3rd. We're called to order. The second item on the agenda is consider finding that as a result of the COVID-19 emergency meeting and purpose in person would present imminent risks to the health or safety of attendees, and the meeting is authorized to be held by teleconference pursuant to government code. Agreed.
I concur. Ready? Yes,
I do. Very good.
Thank you.
So let's move on to the third item on the agenda: comments from the public.
And Linda, if I would like to say that the last meeting I attended went really well with chats turned off. If you have a comment and you would kindly raise your hand, we'll take the comments as the hands get raised. It shows me in order who's raising their hands. So, if anybody has a comment. No hands raised.
No hands, no chats. Move on to the monthly update. Michael?
All right, good morning. Just a quick review, our SB 170 funded projects, our water treatment facility, sodium hypochlorite conversion. HDR has been given notice to proceed. They are starting on that design process. For our recycled water disinfection project, we are in the process of releasing an RFP, probably second week of May, for design services for the recycled water disinfection upgrade at the wastewater treatment facility. For the Grand Lee safety improvements, HDR has been given the notice to proceed on the preliminary design analysis, and we should be hearing from them soon and meeting with them for a kickoff meeting for that. Laguna Joaquin, we'll talk about later in the agenda. Sewer, lift 6A, I apologize, that paragraph was old news. I'll give you the update now. Basically, I'll give you the entire history of that station as of recent. We had a pump failure earlier in April, and I guess the pump burned out, and the wiring was suspected of being the issue. So we started pumping out that lift station using our own transitory pumping system, our Vector, to try to save that other pump. We did the rewiring of the station. It was a single phase station. And that rewiring was complete. The pump was put back in service, and 2 days later, the pump failed. And we think it was damage from the prior faulty wiring. So once again, we were left without pumps in the lift station. We had to use our Vector again to empty out the contents of that lift station while we were obtaining an emergency pump, which has been installed in a three-phase scenario with a VFD. We're currently renting the VFD. They made us purchase the temporary pump. The temporary pump actually works very well. So we're in the process of analyzing to see if that's going to be a good long-term pump. And if it is, we will purchase another one along with the two VFDs. And this will bring us at least to a partial updating of that 6A lift station. For the recycled water tertiary facility, we still have our two pump housings being out, and one of them it was discovered there was a crack in the housing, and so that crack is being repaired. They're both being out being powder coated, and they should be ready for installation either late this week or early next week, so we can get our recycled water production. For water pumping, we're currently operating two 125 horsepower intake pumps, pumping directly to Clara Reservoir. These reservoirs are pretty much full. We have our stop logs in, so we're going to start getting that additional storage that we're allowed to get post April 15th. So all three stop logs have been installed, and we're filling the reservoirs. For our rear OSO pump replacement update, we found out the expansion couplings that were ordered with the pumps are scheduled to arrive in late June. More than likely, we will install the pumps and expansion couplings. We're still trying to get a quote on replacing some of the older gate valves. So if we can get those in time, we'll do that replacement when we replace the pumps. We're still taking a look at the possibility of, in the future, installing a third properly sized pump, would act as a quote unquote jockey pump that would do most of the work for the station. The two pumps that we have could be classified as fire flow pumps, emergency pumps, but because they're on variable frequency drives, we're able to dial those down to use them normally for normal water supply, but not quite as efficient as if we had a third smaller pump in the mix. So we're taking a look at that. Water treatment facility. Water treatment facility 2 was currently off to lower demand. I think we're putting that back on. We've been having some trouble lately with water treatment facility 1 with the low utility air pressure. So we're still in the process of trying to figure out what that problem may be. Stay tuned. Water conservation, the state drought regulation meeting, I attended through Zoom, and it was learned that the emergency stage 2 drought requirements will apply primarily to urban suppliers, which we are not yet an urban supplier. However, all users will be subject to the same type of ban for non-functional turf. We're going to find out more what non-functional turf means and more information about the ban when they come out with the definitions and regs in mid-May. So far, they've excluded residential sports and recreations from non-functional turf. So it'll be interesting to learn what non-functional turf means in eyes of the state. Probably median, but we'll find out. We'll stay tuned on that. We're going to talk about, I might as well talk about now, Atkins Engineering is going to be out next week, I believe, to start performing the bathymetric survey of Reservoir Calero. So that'll be good to get that completed so we can verify our stage storage curve, especially when we're, you know, depending on Calero Reservoir, like where it would be nice to know exactly what we have in that reservoir. Site development update. Riverview Phase 2 and Sanitary Sewer Master Plan update has been submitted to the district for review. We're in the process of reviewing that, along with Domenicelli and Associates and my construction crew. For the retreats, unfortunately, KHOB was issued a notice of violation by the district for failing to prevent sediment from leaving the site and has been fined $500 for that day, I believe, back in late April. They're currently updating their SWIP and to comply with the district requirements, and we're going to be verifying that this week with them on a walkthrough. No updates for Taco Bell other than we think they're probably going to be opening the third week of May, potentially early June. Circle K Shell, they've just continued to build their overhang. Residents North, district has received tentative zoning, tentative subdivision maps for the north. And that's all I have for my report at this time. If there's any questions.
Marty, anything?
No.
Michael, the KHOV was fined $500 by who?
They're going to be fined by us.
That's part of our policy that
we as the entity in charge of the MS4, we have the right to fine when people violate MS4 permits.
And how is that amount determined? Is that in the plan?
I believe it's in our, it's either in our district code or it's in our MS4 capabilities.
Randy, this is Tom. It's in our district code where I have the authority to levy fines of up to $500. Because we had previously sent KHOV a letter related to a previous incident where a lot of dirty water made it into the sewer and drainage system. We issued them a letter, said further violations will result in fines. This was pretty egregious, this latest storm. And so I felt we'll just hit them with the fine, and they reacted quickly by taking care of everything that day. So they only ended up with one day of fines.
Okay. All right. Have we received the $500 from them? Or?
No, we have to work that through the process of our billing, which is our one of the top priorities for finance today, is to get that billing cleaned up so we can get on a more regular basis with our developers.
Amelia, any hands or chats?
No hands.
Okay, let's move on to discussing the capital improvement projects for 2022-23.
I believe that we're going to have item number five discuss Atkins, or will we?
We discussed that.
Okay.
Yeah, I missed that. But yeah, let's move on.
Would you like to talk about it more, Randy? We want you to hear everything.
No, I get the idea. We're working on it, right?
Yep, they're coming out.
We'll get there will be a chart that shows how much water there is in the lake based on the level of the surface water. Is that where we're headed?
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. Let's then move on to capital improvement projects.
Paula was working on this, and I think I'm going to share my screen with her so that she can be the host and share the list of CIP projects. I think you can share your screen now, Paula.
So Michael's going to discuss the list, and Paula's going to help manage it from this point.
Okay.
All right. Can everybody see my screen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, would you like me to start, or did you?
Yes, please go for it.
Okay, so this is the first year CIP. I did a 5-year plan, and this is year one. Please stop me at any time if you have any questions. Like I'd mentioned in previous board meetings and improvement committees, the district feels that it's high time we did some good condition assessment, so we can have a better understanding of the condition of things underground, so we can potentially get ahead of the curve and try to predict when projects need to be done, so we don't have emergency failures. So condition assessment takes quite a long time. So we're going to start with unit 6. We're going to be doing CCTV, NASCAR rated CCTV inspections for sewer. We're going to be taking a look at some of our options of doing underground condition assessment for our water lines and our storm water lines as well. So this information is going to be placed directly into GIS and become accessible as needed for planning purposes. So Tom wanted to start with unit 6. I think that's a good section to start with. And then we're going to expand in the coming years until eventually we get everything condition assessed, and then we'll start over again. We met with the CIA about, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago, and discussed some of the issues that the ditch has and some of the things that we want to fix and upgrade. Including flow measuring. And so there's some money set aside for various sundry projects to address those issues. We also have, like I mentioned before, and I'll mention quite a bit, a lot of this, our information and our condition assessment and our infrastructure is going to be wrapped into our GIS system that we can use as a very useful database. So we have some money there for GIS upgrades, including, you know, tying in cameras, tying in our condition assessment. And I also have an intern that's going to be doing a lot of updating and giving us really logging that good information about pipe diameter, pipe size, depth, those types of things. So looking to really make this GIS program that's already useful much, much more useful next fiscal year. Moving on to water, we have some money budgeted for our Grandly safety improvements, which will consist of updating our four-bay intake, probably putting a new roof on the intake, and then any items that need to happen with the screening for the pumps. And we have some funding for that, and we have already started the pre-design for that project. And also in water, we have an update to our SCADA server at the water treatment plant. Our SCADA server is in serious need of updating, and it's high time that we did update that. And I've been in touch with some SCADA related people to get us a quote and see moving forward on that. That's the high priority SCADA item, I would say, for the next few years. Rio also pump configuration, have some money in the budget in case the district wants to move forward with the third pump scenario to provide more of a resilient and efficient pumping model. We have $1.38 million for smart meter replacement. And this would cover replacing all of our meters with smart meters. We have recently submitted for some state funding for this project. So I would imagine that a majority of this project would be funded from that state funding if we get it. If we don't get it, we probably would start a much smaller phase for the smart meter replacement. But eventually, what this buys us, especially in a drought condition, it's really a drought resiliency project where we can tell with these smart meters where all the leaks are. And we might not want that information, but we really do want that information because we want to be able to find and isolate and fix our leaks as they happen instead of letting them go on for months and months and lose lots of water.
And I want to comment on that real quick. That would also eliminate the ongoing draining of our water tanks if somebody hits fire hydrant or we have a major leak. These smart meters are able to determine, triangulating whatever they do in the pipes, figure out where water breaks are. And we had a big scare last June, and but hopefully we don't have another one. But if we did have the system in place, we would have found out almost instantly that we have this major break in the water lines.
And Tom, there was some potential interest in this being funded, potentially. Or they had asked for some projects, and we said, well, here's one of them.
Well, we recently submitted five projects to the state to go along with the trailer bills to the budget that we were able to secure the $1.3 million last year, and report on that at the board meeting.
And moving on, my operators tell me that we need to rehab some of our water plant drying beds. Those are a very important function in the water treatment plant, and it's high time those were done. One of our sedimentation basins in plant number two needs new bearings, chains, and flights to get that working again to keep up our capacity. And then we have our partially state-funded water plant chlorine gas to hypochlorite project that is currently now in the design phase. And we have asked for additional money from that same trailer bill for that project and the Grandly safety improvements and the wastewater chlorine project. Moving on to wastewater, you've probably been hearing a lot about lift stations lately. And meeting with staff and being able to really get an idea of what the conditions are of our various ascendry lift stations throughout the district, we prioritized a number of stations, and there should be a memorandum attached to this soon. describing what stations need to be upgraded and where. And so this is more than one lift station. This is several lift stations, like including ones that need generators that never had generators, ones that need pump replacements, ones that need entire replacements. So that's what I envision us needing to be able to kind of get us back up to speed and have functional lift stations out in the field. And lift stations are something, you know, everything's important, but lift stations kind of rise to the top, because if a lift station overflows, we've got a lot of water bodies nearby and we just can't afford to have that level of violation. And this stuff just needs to be updated. It's a lot of it's old and it's reached the end of its design life. And, you know, it's some of these have been kept up with duct tape and baling wire, and it's time for a change to maintain these properly. Our wastewater plant chlorine analyzer cabinet. This is a chlorine analyzer that will give us a chlorine residual prior to leaving the plant on its way to the golf course at that pump station for recycled water. Then we have a rainwater harvesting the recycled water project, which I envisioned as probably a phase one. We have put in for this funding. And like I had mentioned on the other project that we put in for funding, I imagine that if we get the funding, we will definitely move forward with the project. Otherwise, you know, we want to take a look at the feasibility. You know, initially, we're going to take a look at the feasibility. And if it looks like this could really increase our recycled water availability every year, then we'll move forward with that project. So this would basically be feasibility analysis to determine if harvesting rainwater, mixing with our wastewater, could provide significant amount of recycled water and an affordable way to someday be able to provide the golf course all the recycled water that they need and our other recycled water customers with sufficient recycled water. Then we have the wastewater plant chlorine gas to sodium hypochlorite project. This has already been initiated. We're putting the RFP up for design, and we've asked for additional state funding to shore up what was needed for this project. We have our dissolved air flotation bearing replacement. That's part of our tertiary plant that creates the recycled water. Then we have our wastewater plant drying bed pump station rehabilitation, which that pump station is on its last leg as well. And we want to keep those drying beds functional. In security, we have a very substantial camera installation set to place cameras at every lift station, at our storage tanks, our basic infrastructure. Then we'll have some movable cameras that we can place in around some of the areas in the service area as needed. This will be a actual security project. And I don't know if Kelly's on the line or Tom would like to discuss that in more detail.
Sorry, I was muted. I'm happy to discuss some more detail, and then Kelly, feel free to chime in. But what we did with the recent development, with the development upcoming, we're starting to generate reserves in the security budget or the security reserve budget for capital improvements. And the cameras are where we're focusing. We've had a great amount of success with some of our recent camera installations in key locations in helping to solve crimes, which obviously is going to deter crimes. We went back to, I believe, a study that was done in 2015 or 16, and a big group of people put together a bunch of locations where they wanted cameras to go. So we started with that list, and we enhanced it to include more of our infrastructure. And so that's what we have. We don't currently have $367,000 in our security reserve fund, but we do have, I believe it's around 140, 150 right now. But as new development occurs every every home pays for additional pays into the security reserve fund, and we intend to spend that money to bolster up our security program. Given the tight budget for security, which is being really, really scrutinized right now, having the cameras out there as a force multiplier is very helpful. And when people see cameras, they behave better. So maybe we can generate a lot of patrol related good behavior without having patrol officers everywhere all the time. Kelly, do you have any comments on this that you want to?
No, I think they've been very effective. We've seen a few times, especially at the North Gate and where the license plate readers are outside the village. Those two particularly continue to help us supplement the Sheriff's Department with good crime fighting information and tips that have resulted in a couple of arrests directly from the result of our cameras. So we've had good luck with those two.
And I'd also add that those, if that project moves forward, those that security camera footage will be able to be directly linked from GIS and be at anybody's fingertips that has access to GIS.
And has access permissions to view the cameras.
Correct. So grand total, we're looking at roughly $8.2 million. Keep in mind, we've requested $5.2 million in funding from the state. So it'll be interesting to see what we're allotted. But just keep in mind, you know, most of that is funding related. Are there any questions about any of the proposed infrastructure projects planned for next year? There's a lot going on, and it's going to be a challenge to get to move these projects forward in that year, but I think it's a challenge that we're up to. And this stuff just needs to happen.
Martin, questions?
Yeah, I have a few questions. So can you leave that up there?
Oh.
On the condition assessments, is this only for the water and sewer, or does it include drainage piping?
Yeah, we're going to look at storm drainage piping too. And the storm drainage piping will be very similar to the CCTV sewer assessment technology.
Okay. So this list was just recently updated. What fell off of the previous list? Was there many projects that fell off, or?
Some of the projects were completed. Some of the projects got moved up based on priority.
Okay. And how did we get all these numbers?
Well, a lot of them are from quotes. A lot of them are from in-house estimates. Okay. Basically some of them are from consultants.
Okay. I mean, are we confident that if we're requesting money that do we got enough requests in there?
Yeah, I use a 10 or 15% contingency.
Okay. And
which some people would think is, you know, a little thin, but I think 15% is sufficient.
This represents what we want to do this year. Is that what you're trying to
say? Absolutely. Yep. Yes.
And what's the impact of this on the reserves?
Maybe Paula can speak to that.
So the impact right now, I'm working on for the finance committee, so I'll have better numbers for you then. But ultimately, we're really dependent upon the state funding to get a lot of these pushed through. One thing, the security does not have total funds to cover the replacements for the camera project. I know that we have probably enough to cover in water and wastewater some of these projects, but not all. And it would basically eat up most of our reserves. But I'll have more clearer numbers during the finance committee.
And again, this is Tom. I think Michael said 5.2, so it must be 5.2 of this is requests we put to the state in hopes that they'll fund some of the projects like they did last year. And the projects that they requested us to provide were projects that had a little bit of innovation to them and not just business as usual for the district. So the state wouldn't want us to ask for, at least through this process, money to rehab our lift stations, our drying beds, but innovative projects such as a total replacement of the water meters throughout the district to save water, detect leaks, to manage water, to allow people to do a lot better taking care of their water on their own, being able to see their water use on an active basis. And the stormwater capture is also a great idea to take advantage of some of these high storm events where the water just ends up going into the ocean eventually. So again, more than 5 million of that 8.2 million are those project requests. So we could pull those out, but we wanted to make sure that they were on the list in case we do end up getting state funding. If we don't get the state funding, I couldn't tell you we'd get very far with the rainwater harvesting project, but we certainly are making progress with our smart meter replacements. But this funding we have in that line item, the 1.38, we would pay a company to come in here and over a couple weeks period, do a full scale replacement of the water meters and then consolidate that into our billing system. So it would kind of be a big deal that happens really fast. So I just wanted to comment on that.
So what's the schedule to find out whether or not we will get funded?
I believe we found out in October, right? When they passed the budget. Paula, do you recall?
It was in September. Yeah. But
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. The governor signed the bill in end of September, beginning of October. So this time we're going to pay attention to it.
So if this list is going to may eventually go to the board for approval, and that gives a green light for these projects, is that what I understand?
Yes.
So now,
the state requested projects that we wouldn't start those until we found out from the state if we got the money or not. Again, they're not the projects that we need to do to maintain our regulatory responsibilities for maintaining wastewater and water, which is why there's so much going on with the condition assessment and the stuff Michael's doing with the lift stations. The lift stations are a big concern of ours right now. If you're the one at the fairways at lift station 6A, that's one of the newer developments in Rancho Marietta, and that had a potential of being a major problem for the district. So I applaud staff for catching it, but we can't just cross our fingers and hope these lift stations don't continue to fail.
Yeah, I see these as noble projects, but it's really a function of what we can afford. So I guess we'll hear that later.
So the three projects that we did receive some funding for last year weren't anywhere near the amount that we got wasn't anywhere near what we really need to do those projects. Did we request more money in this latest go around?
Yes. For all three of them, we requested additional money to supplant the first award. And we explained that we didn't have a lot of time to put this package together for the three projects. And we utilized estimates from a study that was done in 2016, 2017. And with everything that goes on in the world right now, everybody knows that construction costs have doubled and tripled in many areas. And so had we had a little bit more time to prepare the request for Assemblyman Cooley, we may have been able to provide more realistic numbers. And you could assume that since we were awarded this in the first place, we may have been awarded the the full amount of our request, even if it was twice or three times as much. So we're kind of crossing our fingers and seeing what happens.
Okay. So Michael, I listened to the whole thing, and the ifs and the buts, and if we get state funding but this needs to be done. In your mind, you've got these projects separated into priorities, I assume. I mean, the lift stations are up there, and there's certain things that are going to get that we're going to work on no matter what. And then there's probably a bottom list that if we get funding, if we get to them, that type of thing, right?
Yeah, there's also, you know, projects that we're already getting money for. Those have kind of become priority because there's this possibility to get even more money potentially. But yes, and there's some stuff that's got to happen. Lift stations have to happen. Those drying bed rehabs have to happen. Sedimentation basin rehab has to happen. There's projects that keep our head above water. And then there's projects that kind of move us forward. And of course, the priority projects.
Could you briefly explain the rainwater harvesting for $1.8 million? What are we looking at to do for $1.8 million to harvest rainwater? That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Well, it's
too loud. Just noticed three things from Ben Crawford on top of your desk.
Is there someone speaking?
Yeah, we're going back. Hold on just a second.
Oh, I just put them there so in case I feel like reading.
Come on.
Hey, can we go back to the list?
Yeah, I needed to unshare so I can mute people. So
okay, gotcha. Thank you, Paula.
Okay, go ahead.
So I'm sorry, Randy, could you repeat your question?
I'm just curious what we would be doing for $1.8 million rainwater.
Well, you know, in theory, we would find a very convenient place, probably the South Lift Station next to the stormwater pumping station, to be able to transfer stormwater into our lift station, have it be able to successfully go through our wastewater treatment process, and then be taking a look at storage. Now there's an existing existing pond, I believe, west of the treatment plant that we were going to take a look at as a potential. I don't have any information or data. You know, I do have some data on lining costs. If that pond isn't lined, you know, a lot of that would go towards lining that pond, putting the piping in, putting the pumping in. But before we did any of that, we want to get through the feasibility analysis, decide what the best way to store the extra water. Because it's one thing to be able to take it in, but then we have to be able to successfully store it for summertime use to run back through the tertiary facility. So a lot of that would be design, feasibility, but a majority of it would be doing some improvements potentially to that pond and lining and putting in the pumps and the piping to connect it to our other reservoirs, or, you know, having a budget for some reservoir improvement as a phase one. So really, you know, not having done an analysis or a design, I had to come up with, you know, some kind of a budget to get us started, and at least in the phase one approach. As you know, storage is expensive. So I, you know, we would start this project. If we got full funding, it would be a lot easier for us to get started. I want to do a feasibility analysis regardless, because I think that's a smart thing to do. You know, whether we move forward in design and construction, a lot has to do with what comes out of that feasibility analysis. So not having that in my arsenal, I had to try to envision a way for us to get started, at least a phase one approach. If we got that money, we'd want to be able to spend it.
Okay. So stage one is a feasibility.
Feasibility. And then the phase one would be starting the process, you know, putting that pond in service as part of our storage and the design accompanying with that. And then, you know, if that was successful, then maybe we would upgrade that in future if it made economic sense. But if they're going to give us, you know, almost $2 million, I say we take it and we move towards that goal.
Very good. Thank you.
What I wish I had was the analysis already completed, so I could come up with a, you know, a more refined number.
Gotcha. Well, I think it's definitely definitely worth pursuing. I think if we were able to go down this path, it would certainly relieve a lot of headaches in the future for water and supplying the golf course, certainly.
And we okay. couched this as a drought resiliency project when we wrote that request to the state, because basically the more recycled water that we can provide, the less potable water needs to go to these lawns, and the more that, you know, capacity we'll have.
Absolutely. Makes a lot of sense. Amelia, any chats or hands raised?
I do have one chat from John Sullivan.
Okay.
Go ahead, John.
As to the security cameras that are listed at, I don't know, what is it, 336?
332, 350.
Can you explain what percentage is cameras that will be used to protect the district property versus cameras used from that list that was done many years ago?
You know, I'll answer that question, because right now we would not be able to do that. But in general, John, the cameras that were on the list before, some of those cameras were real close to district assets. And the reason we chose the district assets is because most of them have electricity going to them. And also they're in places like List Station 6B is in a prime position to view what's going on at the golf course, view what's going on, people coming on and off the wooden bridge. The Lift Station North, Main Lift North is right there at the entryway to the commercial there on Murrieta Drive. And we can, so as a force multiplier, cameras, they can protect exactly where you have them stationed, but they also are able to spread out their view. For instance, we currently have a camera on order for the siphon station on Calero. And we'll have three cameras there that'll allow us to not only protect that equipment, but also have a good view of what goes on around different parts of Calero Reservoir. And, you know, we had that truck drive down in there last year. We had somebody dump the outhouse into the water last year over there. When we do that, we should be able to have a lot better success in deterring that sort of activity. So at some point in time, we can probably tell you which ones are which, but now we just went off a big list and put this together for the CIP.
So I'd like somebody to give us clarity. The impact fees that were agreed to as part of the financing and services agreement, if you take the amount that's going to be collected from Riverview and Retreats, along with what you have already said you have in quote unquote reserves, that will get you over $336,000. So I'd like, because the financing and services agreement for Rancho North and the Cosumnes River land has a policy statement that says, the majority of the money is supposed to go to protect the properties from which the funds were raised, which if you break that out at 50-50, there should be an operating list of priority camera locations that could be generated. And so I think that work product of a priority list needs to get put together. That's my comment.
Duly noted. Thank you, John. Amelia, any other hands raised or chats?
No other hands raised and no chats. Paula, are you ready to make me the host again?
Yes, I can.
Okay, thank you. And then I will share my screen.
Dang it.
I got it.
Did you get it?
Mm-hmm. So you should all be able to see my screen again? Yes?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, we can. Thank you. Marty, anything further on capital improvement projects?
What's the goal here? Is it to put it on the next board meeting agenda? Is that it?
Tom?
So what we do here is this goes to the next board meeting, right? Right, Paul? We take the CIPs to the May board meeting as the first reading of the budget?
Yes, that's correct.
And then then we have the June board meeting where we take the final budget forward. And that these will get approved at that point in time too. They are all dependent upon funding. And if there's no funds, you know, of course we can't do the projects and we focus on the highest priorities, which would clearly be things like the lift stations and Rio Oso and stuff like that. So that's the normal process. And to answer a question you had earlier, Marty, I didn't want to jump in on it, but you asked about, you know, are these all the existing projects? You may recall when we did the big reserve meeting, I believe it's upwards of 2 to 3 hours, not too long ago, we took a look at all the old projects that had been approved for some odd reason and never implemented. So we went through that list and we pulled out all the projects that were not anywhere in anybody's radar. And there were projects that were duplicated 10 years later by another CIP project. So we're trying to focus on the things that need to be done and not just the ask. The asks we have are those big state project or those big state requests we have out there.
I'd also like to add to that, Tom, that these projects and the reserve study, this is all validated and assisted by my staff, the people that actually work on this stuff. So this is the first time I think that we've actually utilized staff as resource in determining, you know, what's priority, what's not priority. So I feel really good about that.
Very good. Thank you. If there aren't any further questions on the capital improvement projects, let's move on to discussing the water conveyance options basis of design report, Mike.
Okay, so we've discussed the preparation of a basis of design report with Dimoncelli and Associates to analyze the feasibility of a new conveyance system from Calera or Chesbrough Reservoir to Laguna Joaquin. This analysis would evaluate the best path with respect to minimizing water loss and means to transport the water, including bypass the existing CIA ditch. This basis of design report would provide valuable planning information and analysis of alternatives in utilizing the CIA ditch system and could provide the basis for design efforts should the district decide to move forward with alternate conveyance projects. So we are recommending that the Improvements Committee approve bringing the contract with Dimoncelli and Associates for the water conveyance options basis of design report in the amount of $27,970 to the next regularly scheduled board meeting.
Questions, Marty?
Essentially trying to study alternatives, is that what it is?
That is correct.
Okay. And how many alternatives are they looking at?
They'll probably look at 2 or 3.
At one time, I brought it up, but moving water from into Clementia from Chesbro. Is that going to be part of this, or are we giving up on that?
I think it could be. We could make it part of that.
Seems like it'd be a pretty simple idea. Just kind of size a pipe and run it down the hill. I'd like to see that. I don't know if it's feasible or makes a lot of sense. But I'd like to see how much it would cost and then compare that to what the benefits would be. I mean, that's what this is all about, right? We're figuring out, we may get these costs back and just say that, you know, this doesn't make any, none of this makes any sense. Or we may look at it and say, you know, this is probably worth doing, but until we see the costs, there's really no way of knowing. So yeah, I'd like to see that as part of the proposal.
We can add that.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if that's going to bring the scope up or if they'll be able to just kind of include that for existing scope.
So does it say in here how many alternatives we're looking at?
And so... Well, there's got to be more than two.
I don't know. That's,
as I recall, it's right there. It's either Clementia or Chesbro, and Joe wants to look at both to determine what's the most reasonable.
But then there's also, is it fully piped, or we partially use existing ditches as well? There might be some path alternatives.
Yeah, we're hoping that maybe there's pipe in the ground that we're not aware of that we come across.
And does the scope of work say we're going to get an estimate?
Michael,
I'm looking. Should. It doesn't actually say that we'll get an estimate, but I can't imagine us not getting an estimate, and we can make sure that that's part of that. For every alternative, the only, you know, the best way to compare an alternative is the cost of alternative. So it may not have made it in here, but we can get that updated to reflect.
Well, sometimes you can find out it's not feasible and you wouldn't do an estimate.
But... Right, like if it can't be built versus not feasible because it's too much money.
Yes.
Well, I would think at the very least it will include lengths of pipe being used and which ditches would need to be cleaned out or widened or whatever. And I think with all the work that Mike's done on the reserve studies, we should have a pretty good grasp of what those costs would be if we had the lengths and types of the system, right?
Yeah, that's true. And while the task order, the scope doesn't specifically state cost being one of the factors for comparison, we can request that.
Okay, well, I'm good with moving this on to the board. Marty?
I'm not. Is the goal to be able to get water to Laguna Joaquin for the purposes of refreshing the pond? Is that the goal?
Tom, you want to answer that?
Yeah, that is the goal. That's been the question for some time, and we wanted to analyze what the result, you know, what the reality is. Our dependent, it currently is on the CIA ditch, which ran dry last summer. for a period of time as the evaporation and the water was getting very low at Laguna Joaquin. So we ended up supplementing Laguna Joaquin with a bunch of water that we took out of Clementia, ran down the ditch, which is pretty inefficient way to get water into Laguna Joaquin. So we wanted to look into our options.
So Randy's idea of investigating getting water from Chesapro was essentially previously considered for the purposes of irrigation for the RMA. But if that's not, which is a different goal than what this study is going to tell us.
Well,
I can tell you from the RMA maintenance committee meeting yesterday that the goal for RMA is to go to potable water up and down the parkway and around Laguna Joaquin so that they can go to a drip system and save on the water, plus all of the problems with Laguna Joaquin and irrigating with that smelly water. I wasn't thinking along the lines of, I mean, that's going to be in the future. My thought was that with all of the various users of the CIA ditch and certain times of year when farmers absolutely need the water and we don't have an opportunity to flush out Laguna Joaquin, that this would do that, either running it from Chesapro to Clementia to Laguna Joaquin, or now I guess we're going to look at an alternate of Calero down. But that was my idea, Marty, was this is strictly for purposes of keeping Laguna Joaquin.
So why don't we ask Domenicelli to tell us what that alternative would add in the cost.
Which, I'm confused, which alternative? I thought that...
The Chesapro alternative, right?
Oh, I thought I read that in there, that they were going to look at that. I read it wrong?
No, I guess you're right. You just got through saying Calero also, but... And now I'm confused.
Oh, that's what I meant was Calero.
Okay. So we're just doing Clementia and Chesapro. Okay.
Yeah,
I understand.
Okay. So we're good for moving this on to the board?
Mm-hmm.
Randy, I do have a public comment if you will entertain public comment.
Certainly.
John Sullivan.
I'm trying to figure out, I too would like to know what the Chesapro to Clementia pipeline would cost. But my primary reason for making a comment is, are we at cross purposes here with the policy of the district? If this is a policy to get off of Laguna Joaquin water for irrigation of the RMA common area, we can hook up water right now, potable water, pretty much anywhere north of Laguna Joaquin through existing water system. The comment that I thought what we were trying to focus on was to you're trying to find a more efficient way to get water into Laguna Joaquin, but you're not doing it in a way that's necessarily going to freshen Laguna Joaquin. Running water into existing drainages is just going to take whatever's in the existing drainage and drain it into the lake, unless there's some other pre-treatment system on the drainages. So I was just wondering if a third option, or another option might be to have a interconnect between the infall from the CIA ditch to the pumping station and put in a wet well at the pump station and transport the raw water from the CIA ditch through the 42-inch pipe and then have it go into a wet well all the way at the pump station so that it's just raw water and not all the other stuff that's in the existing Laguna Joaquin. I think if he's going to go to this extent and spend $30,000, it's worth finding out what that type of interconnect might cost.
Did you follow that, Mike?
Not exactly. So you're John, you're talking about constructing a wet well. Where exactly?
So right now, Rod has to. He has a rock lined area that he lifts water out of Laguna Joaquin and pumps it out of the pump station.
Correct, and he's switching to potable eventually.
Okay, so I understand that, but if we're determining these other options, a connection between the infall at the CIA pipe at Laguna Joaquin over to the pump station would provide clean raw water rather than dirty Laguna Joaquin water to that pump station.
Where would this pump station be pumping? I'm not sure where you're going.
No, I'm not talking about a pump station. I'm talking about when the water comes into Laguna Joaquin out of that 42-inch pipe, that instead of just spilling into the lake, it's piped over to the pump station at whatever volume he needs to take care of his pumping needs.
And that is your 3-minute timer, John. Thank you.
Well, let's go offline on that, Michael, and we can talk. I'm a little confused too, because with the goal being that they're going to go to potable, I think they're going to abandon that pump station, and I'm not getting the idea of why we would want to get even clean water there, because they're not going to use it. But we can talk about that, and maybe sit down with Joe and explain to him what we're trying to accomplish here, so that he doesn't get headed in the wrong direction on this analysis. But
yeah, I agree.
In the meantime, I'd like to move this on to the board for approval so that we can get started on it. And Martin, if I think I heard you right, that you're good with that.
Yes. And make sure we have an estimate in there. And do we have a timing when it's supposed to be done?
We don't at this point.
Seems like we should.
Maybe by the board meeting, we can nail that down.
Oh, are you talking about the making sure that the cost estimates are in there? Yeah.
And a time frame for them to complete.
Time frame. Yeah, we can get that. I'm sure we can get that time.
Okay. Very good. Anything else, Amelia? Any hands or chats on this item?
No more hands up. I will put this on the board agenda for the May 18th meeting.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda, director and staff comments or suggestions. Staff, anything from staff?
This is Tom. I don't have anything.
Okay. Director comments, Martin?
No, I appreciate Michael's efforts in putting together this list, and I'm curious to see how we're going to fund it, but I think it's a good list, and thank you for doing it.
That was going to be my comment also. So just ditto to that. I'll be interested in listening in on the finance committee when you talk about how this all jives with the budget, and I'm thinking that maybe there has to be a little bit more work done here to figure out what would happen if we got some funding, all the funding, no funding, and what of any of this you would try and get done anyways, and how that affects the reserve budget. So that's, I'll be listening in to hear that. And that leads us to item number 9 on the agenda, which is adjournment. Thank you everyone for attending this morning, and have a good day.
Thanks. Thank you.
Good day. Thank you. Bye.